Welcome to Practice Makes Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Kingsbury.
And I'm your host, Jordy Wofford. Practice Makes Podcast is a program oriented towards self-improvement through engaging in conversation and insight on various subjects ranging from emotional well-being, exercise, changing one's habits, as well as important global affairs. Hashtag stay woke.
Practice Makes Podcast aims to offer helpful discussion on relatable topics to listeners who are bored or need a reminder that you are not alone. However, the views and opinions expressed in this program should not replace counseling from trained professionals.
And on that note, let's talk about fear.
The crowd goes wild. Jordy, what is something shitty and something joyful that's happened since the last time we spoke?
Something shitty that happened to me was that without realizing it, I left work a half hour early. I had a really good day at work, and my coworker gave me a ride home. I was feeling good. I lied down on the sofa, and I was checking my schedule for the next day, and I realized, oh God, I left a half hour early. And I'm just like kind of praying that nobody realized what I did, and I'm just gonna come into work tomorrow and pretend like it never happened.
That's what I was gonna ask. Did anyone notice?
I don't know. I'm like really dreading. Maybe fear is the appropriate topic for the day because I'm terrified about coming into work the next day and being confronted.
Oh, would they call you, or they would just wait?
I think they're just waiting. I don't think it's important enough for them. We use email a lot at my job, which is really weird. It's like I'm a cashier, and we're always like having these really professional type emails that we're communicating each other with. It's like, just text me. What about you? What was something shitty that happened to you?
My fellow apartment liver. Somewhere in this apartment building, there is someone smoking cigarettes inside, and they have they have not stopped for like 10 days. It's just constant. And I'm a reformed smoker, non-smoker. I don't know how you would say it, but I used to smoke. Fucking quit smoking, and it was hard, and I did it for my health, and now there's just some douchebag blowing smoke in my face every fucking day is basically what it's like, against my will. And I could go on about this forever because people say that smoking is a choice, and you know what? I don't believe that because you're addicted. You're not choosing to smoke. I'm not choosing to inhale it right now either.
Yeah, it's definitely not a choice. Are you like getting up onto a chair and like sticking your head next to the ventilator, like trying to suck in the smoke that's coming in, or?
No, I just smell it constantly all throughout my apartment, and I have a pretty sensitive sense of smell, so not everyone can smell it. Like when I had someone over to see if they could smell it, they didn't smell it inside. But they did smell it outside of this person's door, so I was assuming it was them. But then, here's the fucked up thing. There's no one living in that apartment.
Dun, dun, dun. It's like one of the ghost stories we used to tell when we were at summer. And then the ashtray was on the windshield.
Yeah. What is something joyful?
Yes, something joyful. It's more like a general thing. Like I lost my car, and because of the pandemic going on, I can't go and find my get my other car that I have stored
because they're not. It makes it sound like you misplaced it.
Oh, I can't find it. No, it broke down, and we had to send it to the scrapyard. And the other car that I have stored in a barn in the middle of nowhere, long story, I'll get into that another time. we can't go and get it because they're restricting freedom of movement between, like, different regions. So I get, in a more general sense, my coworkers have just been very supportive of me while I'm having to be on foot and have trouble getting around. They've been giving me rides, and it's giving me a warm, fuzzy feeling knowing that people care about me and they're willing to offer help in a time of need.
Oh, yeah, that's the best time to realize who is nice enough to care about you when you need them.
Difficult times really show you who are your friends and who are fair weather fans.
Yeah, that's, I think we get a lot more of the fair weather friends and fans.
Definitely. It's like sifting through lots of dirt to find those nice gems glistening in the riverbed. What's your joyful thing?
Oh, yeah. It is a, well, I guess it's a hardship that has brought me to realize this as well. We're both in that boat. Because of quarantine, we've switched, to working two separate shifts. We're in two separate groups, so we haven't seen half of our coworkers, since the beginning of March. What is it? April? I don't even know how long it's been.
Who keeps track anymore?
But we've been leaving each other like banners and little notes, and it's been really cute and sweet. And we leave like memes for each other, and then also with the coworkers that I am still cohabitating with, we're bonding and playing games and listening to songs and singing together, and it's been a morale booster, if nothing else.
Oh, that's really sweet.
It is super sweet. Well, let's go ahead and talk about fear.
Oh boy, I'm a little afraid, not gonna lie.
That's okay, you can be afraid. Our topic for today is fear. Do you want to read our quote?
Yes, the quote that I picked was from Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius. The quote reads, "If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this you have the power to revoke at any moment."
And why did that quote excite you?
I liked this quote. Well, for one, it's Marcus Aurelius, so that's just cool.
Oh, is he your bro?
Well, I just kind of like Roman history and emperors and that's another matter. But I think it was relevant to the subject matter because from, you know, what I've been looking into and reading about on fear, it shows that, well, it is really something that exists in your mind and it only has as much power as you give to it. And just as in the same way that you have the power to let fear control you, you have the power to overcome it and get around it.
Yeah.
I was basing like these feelings off of an article that I had looked up. It is from the website Very Well Mind, and the article is entitled "The Psychology Behind Fear." And we
this
can provide
the one
a link
that we're adding to the show notes, right?
Yeah, we'll provide a link to the article in the show notes so people can read it for themselves. I won't read through the whole article, but essentially it was an interesting article because it described fear as being both a biochemical reaction and an emotional drive. So essentially, like when they were talking about fear being biochemical, they were describing fear as being a type of survival mechanism. So, you know, we're having sensory experiences around us. We have to interact with our environment. And in a word, the biochemical element of fear is, it's based on our own awareness of our mortality, and it's kind of a reaction to the unknown. If some kind of an unknown threat comes up to us, like, how are we going to react to that?
I think oftentimes when I'm feeling fear, it's because I don't know what's coming, so I definitely agree with that, a reaction to the unknown. Awareness of our mortality. That's almost like adrenaline junkies or people that are paranoid. Those are like two different ends of the spectrum. One is that fear is immobilizing you, and the other is that it's exciting you. And both of those circumstances are because the fear of death, for example, being on a roller coaster. Why do we do that? Why does that excite us? And there are entire parks that we spend $50 a day to go to experience that.
Yeah, it's like we're being addicted to the having a sense of fear. Maybe in a way it's just like a simple addiction, or maybe in another way it's almost like what Marcus Aurelius is getting at. It's a way of owning and controlling our own fear. We're able to exercise such power over it that we actively go out and seek fear rather than trying our best to avoid it or being anxious every time we come across it.
Yeah. And then there are the people that are so afraid of everything that they hide out in their houses, and they have agoraphobia, or they're afraid of commitment, or they're afraid of, you know, there are so many things you can be afraid of that just keep you at a standstill and you don't grow.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what else the article was talking about was the like emotional component of fear. It was it's like there's a kind of like a psychological and philosophical component to it about how fear is stemming from our consciousness. And it's stemming from like our very ability to move across space and time. So fear can exist as being immediately in fear of our safety, like our physical well-being, but it can also be based off of apprehension and anxiety based on things that happened to us in the past.
Oh yeah, like in our childhood, being afraid to get angry, or being afraid to feel like someone loves you, or being afraid to fail or be successful, all because of something that seems very rational, but objectively is pretty irrational without the context of knowing what happened to you to make you be so afraid of this thing that you're afraid of.
Yeah, that reminds me of, I might be going out of order here a little bit, but that reminds me of another article that I looked up in the Harvard Business Review. It's titled Using Stories to Overcome Fear. And I guess the title is pretty self-explanatory, but the one thing that I really liked out of the article is that the writer created an acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, and it was called Fear Should Be Seen as False Evidence Appearing Real.
I like that. We're putting that one in our show notes too, right?
Yeah, we should do that. So he's what the writer is getting at is that it's you have fear because you don't have all the information at your disposal, so you're just kind of imagining things or anticipating the worst. But in reality, you know, if what the writer, you know, says is that it should take a leader, someone to kind of guide you know, the group or the individual who's fearful, like through like showing them like how, you know, how walking their hand and taking them through it, showing how everything's going to work out and how everything's going to be okay. And that their fears are basically unfounded. But, I liked that idea. Just we're afraid of things that we don't fully know or fully understand. And that's just because we don't fully understand or know what's going on, that shouldn't be grounded, you know, reason enough to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. What are you afraid of?
What am I afraid of? I guess I'm afraid of not being important to someone or not having a purpose.
Do you feel like you have a purpose?
I thought I had everything worked out. You know, just without going into all the details, I thought I had everything on the right track with my life and the direction that it was going, but it turned out that, you know, life threw me a curveball, and now I'm, you know, at a new job and, at a totally an industry type of job that I would never have seen myself doing before, but in a strange way, it is giving me a sense of purpose. And so I guess I'm kind of adapting to that and negotiating around that. Mm. And, but yeah, in a strange way, I feel like I've overcome those fears by having a purpose.
Oh yeah. Purpose is what sets you apart from a place where your thoughts just kind of take you on a ride and you end up wherever you end up. I think that if you have a purpose, you can more recognize where your thoughts are taking you and decide whether or not that's somewhere you want to go. I end up in like depressive states sometimes. And if I didn't have a purpose, I would just stay there and I would just think whatever it was that I was sort of programmed to think in that moment. But being able to reach out and say, there's more to this, there's more than this moment, is what pulls me out of that.
I think another thing that might help get over those moments or, you know, get through those periods of difficulty is just in the same way that fear is, you know, some fear of the unknown or not knowing what's going to happen. I think you could kind of turn that on its head and say, well, wait a minute, I might not have a purpose at this point, or I might not like where my situation is at, but look at all the possibilities and the potential that lie ahead.
Yeah.
So, and kind of a way of where people are scaredy cats and afraid of things versus people who are like thrill seekers actively going after it. I think it's kind of a good way to do an inversion of the, or maybe kind of looking at the glass as being half full rather than half empty.
Yeah. How have you overcome fear in the past?
Well, I started a new job and it was overseas in a country where I had no contacts with, and I was really, really, really scared because I didn't have any support network and I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And strangely enough, what got me through it was expressing the fear that I was feeling to the people that were hiring me at that organization. And so I guess maybe honesty was what helped me overcome it, because I was real and I was upfront and I said, look, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't have an apartment. I don't know anybody here. And they started, working with me and started walking me through all the steps. Like, here's, you know, where you can, the resources where you can find an apartment. Here's the resources where you can get this done. And it was kind of that openness and honesty that led to like almost like biologically a support network kind of just growing out of nowhere.
Oh yeah, that's the, I think one of the few things that is so life-changing is working towards finding authenticity rather than looking at the way that you think or what's going on in your head or your life and sort of denying it and pushing it down because you think that that's not how you're supposed to feel. Rather than that, being authentic about it and letting people know, and that authenticity builds you a community, and being in a community is the best thing that you can do for yourself when you're scared or whatever it is that you're going through. And you really can't build that until you open up.
Yeah. And I would almost, I almost feel like I would have to give an answer. Like, fear is something that has to be overcome through within you and yourself. But I don't think that necessarily, that would be certainly a good thing, but I don't think that necessarily has to be true. I think you can rely on others. Have you overcome fear in the past? Or
I guess I have an example. It goes way back. growing up, I didn't have like great role models. Everything was always in chaos and everyone was always fighting. So I attribute that to why I was so afraid to date somebody. So when I was 18, I just decided that I would. And I really, when I think back to moments where I was fearful of a situation, it's almost just like jumping over a fire or something. Like, you're looking at the flames and they're terrifying and you know you're going to get burned if you walk over them. And then eventually you just kind of get overcome by the urge to just get through it. So you just run through the flames as fast as you can to get to the other side and sort of leave all your doubts and worries, you know, in the back of your mind. You can't think about that in that moment, and you just jump over the fire, and maybe there are more flames and you do get a little bit burned, but in the end you learn something and you can be thankful for every experience that you have. And I don't regret any time that I've been fearful and I just jumped over the fire and went through with it. It's always taught me something.
Like, based on hearing what your description was, like hearing about like fire and like burning and pain, like it sounded like fear is a very physical thing. Mm. Is that what fear feels like to you? Or,
oh yeah, I like this idea of, in one sentence, saying what we think fear feels like to us.
Okay.
I'm gonna say that it feels like being unsure of whether or not you're gonna throw up, so you prepare for the worst case scenario and you stay where you are. What about you? One sentence. What does fear feel like?
Fear is a dreadful, overwhelming feeling of being pulled down into the abyss of your own Tartarus self and not being able to come out again.
And not being able to come out again.
Yeah, every time I'm afraid, I feel like something is pulled. I feel like I'm that Ren and Stimpy episode where they self-implode. I just feel like I'm sinking into myself. And
can you find a link to that to put in the show notes?
Sure, I'll look it up after we're done and see if I can. It's kind of it's kind of weird and used in that context, but maybe
people will get it. I think it sounds really trippy and I want to see it because I don't remember that.
But yeah, I just feel like maybe that's where the whole element of fear being like a primal, like biochemical result of our own consciousness. I feel like fear as a, you know, like a fight or flight to defensive mechanism. Like that's the feeling I get. It's like I'm withdrawing into myself when I'm feeling afraid. Like it's like a self-defense mechanism where I'm trying to protect myself, but it's like leading to my own self-destruction in a way.
Mm-hmm. So fear doesn't always mean that something is wrong, and being comfortable isn't always what's best for you.
Yeah, I think that there is a kind of the emotional element that there was the first article was kind of getting at was how fear can be expressed in different ways, which is like based on our understanding of right and wrong. So what I think that means is there's kind of a good way to have fear, maybe based on like a past trauma or mistake that you did, something that was wrong. And I think it can, in a way, be a positive thing to have that with you, because having the fear of repeating those mistakes or getting yourself back into that situation can serve you to avoid from repeating the same mistakes or the same things that happened to you in the past. So,
and why do you think that that is a bad thing? So say you're afraid of something that you've, because of something that's happened in the past, why is it not okay to just let that fear dictate what you do?
Well, I think it can be good to let that fear dictate what you do to an extent, but I guess where the line would be is when it becomes so overwhelming that you'll never be willing to take another risk. You'll never be willing to open up and be vulnerable to other people again, or you'll never be willing to be a functional human being again. So I think it's kind of a fine line to walk. But yeah, I don't think fear is always necessarily a negative thing.
How is it a positive thing?
It's a survival mechanism. Mm. So it's a kind of like a pressure valve. maybe it's like, hold on, I'm getting into the danger zone.
So in some cases, it has served us when it needed to be there. That's why it's there to begin with. So if you're afraid of commitment, or you're afraid of other people loving you, or you're afraid of leaving your job, even though it makes you miserable. I don't know how that would be having to do with something that happened to you in the past, but that is an example of fear. But all of those things that you're afraid of now are no longer serving you, but they were serving you at one point. And that's why they even developed in the first place. So how do you overcome that?
I think it will vary from based on person to person, but essentially, I guess it could be anything from like having different people around you to having a different outlook on yourself. And there's no real easy answer to that. But going back to that article about using stories to overcome fear, I think, if you really are able to look at everything from the big picture and see what other kind of possibilities are out there for you, then you can overcome it. You can get those negative feelings away from yourself, and you can move and turn the page.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes back to what you were talking about when how you overcame fear in the past, was that you basically had to open up to people and be honest and authentic. And I think that when we are dealing with something and we're dealing with it on our own, we feel like we have to just internalize everything, and we have to isolate ourselves in these moments of despair. And the real cure is, you're not going to be able to think your way through something. You're not going to be able to fight yourself with yourself. You really do have to open up and get another perspective on whatever issue it is. And maybe it's not as big of a deal as you thought it was. And other people can really help you through things. What if your fear is other people?
Well, then you're in a world of trouble.
That could be like the jumping through the fire thing, where you just have to fucking do it. There are different ways to get through things. Sometimes it takes a lot of therapy and time, or an epiphany, or authenticity. And then other times it just takes like jumping off the cliff, you know, that the bungee jumping kind of scenario. Like, that is definitely that's a moment of controlling fear. Getting on a roller coaster, you know, it's that same, you wait in that long line. So maybe in some cases, overcoming fear is waiting in a long line and then finally getting on the Tower of Doom and dropping to the bottom. And you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And then there's other times where you literally have to jump out of the side of a plane.
I like the Illich's reference.
Thank you. Did I say Illich's?
No, but you said Tower of Doom, so all of our listeners in Colorado are going to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, tell Illich's to sponsor us, in fact. How about?
Let's work on that. I don't know, I'm kind of afraid of getting a sponsor.
Why, you don't like money? Are you afraid of money?
Yes.
You're afraid of success?
Yes, greed is the root of all evils.
How is that greedy?
I don't know.
Greed is not the root of all evil. There are 7 deadly sins. That's only one of them.
I think I was just quoting, I think that was in the Canterbury Tales. I think one of the people who told the story was saying that greed was the root of all evils and all the wrongs.
Really? You know what? I feel like that's kind of true.
I'd have to look at the story. Maybe that wasn't even, and it's not even remembering it right, but yeah, I'd have to look up. And it seemed like he had a pretty solid argument.
You know what's so interesting about the thing that I'm thinking right now? Like, it's super interesting. Are you ready to hear it? It's so interesting. So, I'm sorry. I wanted that to sound more sarcastic than narcissistic, but I might be too far on the narcissistic scale for that to have come off endearing.
Just scale it back.
Okay, great. Thank you for being honest. So going back to black and white thinking, when it comes to things like money, for example, and then also religion is a place where this happens, where we've had bad experiences with people who have used these things for not so good things, like creating cults or manipulating people. Both money and religion have done that. And because of that, a lot of us have fear of these things. We fear making money because money might make us evil, or we fear religion because religion might make us manipulative or put us into this world where we're no longer in control. And that's a big part of anxiety and fear, is that feeling of not being in control. And in the same way, money can be very helpful and good, and success can be a place that is, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be evil or you're going to use your powers to hurt people. And then you can be religious, and you can, or you can have, you know, a spiritual aspect of your life, and you can still use your powers for good.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Thank you all for listening. This has been season 2, episode 1 of All About Mental Health. There is a survey online that has these questions. What does fear feel like, and how have you overcome fear in the past? If you guys want to fill it out, we might read it on an episode. Hopefully, if you have anything you want to tell us about moving past fear or anything that isn't serving you or holding you back, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at email@practicemakespodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook at Practice Makes Podcast, and also on Instagram at PMPPod.
Yes. Thank you for listening. Please fill out the surveys, and we'll hope to join you all next week with the next episode. But until then, don't be afraid. But if you are afraid, that's okay too.
Well, if anyone's interested, I have a blog, and it is about mental health. It is on WordPress.com, and it's called Moving Through the Fire. I will put a link in the show notes.
Yes, please go check it out.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.